Hello and welcome to episode 97 of the Carrier's Edge podcast. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm Mark Morrell. I don't remember what my intro is, but I'm here and I'm hosting a podcast and I'm joined by
Jane Jazrawi, the co-founder of Carrier's Edge. And
oh, that's how we normally do it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been a while.
It has, and we've both been sick, and I think you're still on cold medication fumes.
I'm definitely, yes, I'm on borrowed energy here, and I'm sure I will crash at the end of this episode.
Yes, so you just keep it up
for I just have to keep talking.
45 minutes.
45 minutes, or I will die, yes. And I also am very excited that I finally have a new machine for recording here.
Which won't mean anything to anyone, probably, but what it means to us is that I don't know. What does it mean to us? Does it mean that we can actually record? Like, I think that old machine was actually dying.
Well, yes, I'm not sort of taking my life in my hands each time I use it. The old machine was more than 10 years old, and I've had this new machine now, oh boy, for a while, and wanted to move everything over, move all the recording over to it, but I had to get a bunch of things set up, adapters and different plugs and things. So the joy of moving from one Mac to another is the jungle of adapters that you have to use.
Yes.
Especially when you're using pro audio gear that needs to plug in particular ways. So
well, I guess the biggest change is that you can actually upgrade to the latest software version of Digital Performer, which you're probably using like
I was using a very old version.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's sad about it. This machine, my new fancy machine that I'm so happy about, was a machine I bought as an emergency backup for you during COVID in like March of 2020 or April of 2020 when your laptop crashed. Your laptop died and we had to take it in for repair and we needed a spare machine. So this was basically what I could get delivered from the Apple store. So it's been kind of the emergency backup machine, the spare. And also it's been on deck to be my recording studio, new recording studio machine. And it's taken me this long to actually get the various parts that I need in order to get all of my gear set up with it. So
and that's not, I mean, that just means that it took you this long to get around to it.
It was quite tricky getting one part, mostly because nobody at the music store could figure out how to order it. But once they figured out how to order it, it was a month and then it arrived and then I got
okay,
it.
Okay, can we have a segue about music stores and how, I don't know, how they're operating? It's like they don't want to use any technology at all. They just want to use printed forms.
Yes.
And just the memory of all their associates. They might be working in the 1950s.
They're not quite there. They're firmly in the 80s because their inventory system is like command prompt. It is like an old style Unix or DOS terminal.
But they would rather get your order and then call around to see who has it.
Yes.
And then use their crazy old Unix-based or, I don't know, what did you, DOS? Their DOS, their Amber prompts to actually order it.
Yeah, it's a green screen.
Yeah, it's not modern. And it seems like at some point in the 80s, they all had enough money to buy some basic computer system, and that's the one they've kept.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever been to a music store and you try to buy something or you try to order something special, it's a journey.
Oh, yeah. And all the people that work there are snobs. They all look down their nose at you because they work in the music store and you know you're just a lowly customer, which cracks me up because these are 40-year-old guys working retail. You got nothing to be that snarky about.
Well, they're in a music store. They're closer to being a musician than you are, than the likes of you.
I suppose.
They're closer to the industry. And when I was in there with you the other day and the guy that you were talking to was going on and on and on about, you guys just started talking in another language.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, I was just sort of like, okay, we're now talking about equipment and I don't know what it is. So I'm going to tap out of this conversation. But it was almost like a test.
Mm.
It was almost like he wanted to see how much you actually knew. So he was just dropping in all of these weird names of things. Like, I don't know. Can you give me an example of the kinds of weird names of things that
I don't even remember?
It's like things you needed something that had these kinds of connectors and
oh
do you remember?
I don't remember. We were talking about audio converters and
audio converters. Don't explain it, but I didn't know what they were talking about. Well, I kind of knew that you were going to be converting audio from one form to another, but I didn't know why, and I didn't know what equipment you needed to do that. Again, I don't know, want to know now. Like, don't explain it. I know you're dying to. You're just wanting to tell me.
So let me explain to you how digital audio conversion
That's
works.
That's what it's like with you guys in a music store, mm-hmm. because if I asked a question, then it would just be like, oh, you're a newbie. Let me just impart all my information to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just the girlfriend who's coming with, you know, the guy to buy some cords.
Yeah, it is a little bit like going to a friend's house and they all speak a different language at home. And you know, the friend just drops into that language without even thinking
about
it.
Yeah, and then they all start laughing at you after somebody makes a comment in the other language.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a little bit like that. But yes, we have it all set up now. And I've been using it to do drum recordings and it's very nice. I'm looking forward to seeing what it does with our podcast. So big excitement on the gear front.
I don't know if it's
going to
make my voice any lower.
It won't make any real difference to it because I'm using all the same settings as before. It's just going to be faster. Yes.
Okay. It'll be faster for Carly.
Yes. Well, faster for me to get the files
get
to Carly.
To Carly. Okay. Yes. That's what's important.
Yes. So our new year is off to a great start with new gear and a first episode of a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what we're really spending all of our time doing when we're not laid up in bed being sick is Best Fleet scoring.
Yes, Best Fleet scoring.
And this is a different one for me because I've done the least amount of scoring that I've ever done. I think I've scored 5 questions so far, which a week into it, normally I would have done 3 times as many as that. But we've got a lot of people that are working on it. So my primary job right now is talking to them about the different things that they're seeing and discussing which things are more valuable for drivers than others and figuring out how to build a scoring matrix around that and putting all of the point values in, reviewing it all together. So it's been different.
Yeah, it's much different. We're coming at it from the point of view of supervising and, you know, looking at what other people are doing and trying to explain the relative value of one thing over another and why is it more valuable. And sadly, it often comes down to how much money are you spending on it? How much investment is actually in this offering? Are you just kind of doing it for free when you feel like it or when it's convenient? Or are you thinking, okay, this is a program I'm going to invest, not necessarily money, but time.
Yeah.
And planning.
Resources of some sort.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to tell me about the billions of dollars.
Yeah.
But you do have to impart that it is an important thing. Mm-hmm. And we care about it. And you can really tell between the people who care about something and the people who don't.
Yes.
Or the things where you can tell it's the person's job, that one, but like if they're in ops, then the answers in operational strategy are a whole lot different than they are in the HR. And when they're HR, you get very granular on HR, but they don't, their answers in operational strategy or, you know, performance are different.
Oh yeah, for sure. So we're going through and reviewing those. The other thing that is tricky when people are kind of looking at it and because we look at a question on its own, you have to look at the answers, but then look at it and think about, okay, well, this thing that they're talking about, we actually score it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not going to score it here. So we're going to separate those out because it's actually covered somewhere else. Because people will put everything in that answer that they can that might get them some points. So you chop out the stuff that's scored somewhere else. You also have to chop out the stuff that you know everybody is doing, but may not have mentioned.
Is the baseline.
Mm-hmm. Like people have dispatch available after hours. Well, that's pretty much everybody in the trucking industry.
You're not going to get an extra point for that.
Yeah. There's no dispatch office that closes at 5 on Friday.
Well, I just was talking about industry programs for drivers, like getting drivers involved in industry. And that's like drivers being part of Race Across America or being part of a road night program or driver captain type of thing or road captain, I mean. Mm. And that's interesting because a lot of people will say, well, we belong to 12 associations.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
So.
But are your drivers doing anything?
Exactly. Like, you know, that's great that you belong to all these organizations, but what are your drivers doing? And it's the same thing. And once you sort of kind of get in the flow of how important does the company think these programs are and how much investment is there in it, you kind of get the sense of of what's important, but also it's whether, because we have a lot of new people, and this is kind of, we put new people into scoring so that they can learn the industry. And there's just often a lot of things that they have no idea what they are, like Trucker Buddy.
Oh, yeah.
What's Trucker Buddy? And yeah, that came up today. And Selassie mentioned it, and he's like, I don't know what that is. And it's like, oh.
That's funny. That used to be the main thing that people answered on that question. And it's really sort of...
It's still there.
Still there, but it's dropped into the background quite a bit over the past few years.
Which is really unfortunate, because it was a really good kind of PR program. It was a really good connection. I don't know if that's something that people just don't want to do anymore, or it's just kind of no one's promoting it, so no one's thought about it lately, but it's still, they still have a website, they still have a phone number.
Yeah, they still have buddies, apparently.
And if you're listening and you don't know what Trucker Buddy is, go to truckerbuddy.com. And it's really, it's a pen pal program between truck drivers and a classroom. And it's like, which is a really great way for kids to, you know, pen pal programs are really good in sort of third grade, where kids are just starting to learn to write. This sort of in, you know, not quite middle school yet, but a little bit younger, but not so young that they don't know what they're talking about. This is something that really is good for getting kids to understand what the industry is about.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. And it's an American program, I believe.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. But really good program. And interesting to see that what used to be the main answer on that question has sort of dropped back down. And now we see more things like drivers getting involved in truck driving championships, mm-hmm. or attending association events, or being involved in different road night type programs, captains of the road type programs. So that's good. I was scoring environmental on the weekend.
Oh, I did that last year.
And it was quite interesting. I got to say, I was surprised how many fleets are doing electric trucks, are talking about those, and alternate fuel vehicles, hydrogen. It used to be just CNG.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing, was the natural gas trucks. And there's still some of those, but there's more people doing electric trucks now and have actually taken possession of some electric trucks.
Is this electric trucks for shunt trucks?
Some is shunters. Some is actual tractors. And they're all really doing kind of pilot programs.
Who's making them?
Freightliner has got an electric.
Ooh.
The E-Cascadia, I think
it
is.
Oh, I think I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think most of them have got some sort of electric or alternate fuel vehicle. A lot of hydrogen stuff being talked about. So that was surprising. The number of people doing solar has gone up as well. That was surprising. I was not expecting much in that program. In that question, I thought the environmental programs were going to be really curtailed because people are hurting for cash, and it's definitely a down year in the industry. I thought we were going to see a lot less on environmental, but I guess these are longer term projects, so people want to be better positioned when the downturn ends, and they've got some really interesting stuff happening.
Well, I think I really love the idea of solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that the solar panels are often at the terminal, but are you seeing more on the trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
EPUs.
Yep.
Doing it that way, using that to charge the EPU.
Yeah, because if you think about it, the top of a truck is just a flat area that's perfect for solar.
Yeah.
Like, there's really, I mean, it's amazing that they were thinking of doing anything else. But I guess solar technology kind of has really amped up in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's become a little bit more convenient. It's not as bulky, so you can put it on there and use it.
Yeah, well, we're thinking about using it because we have a big flat roof.
Yeah.
And I would love to have solar energy.
Oh, yeah.
That would be very, very cool. And I remember like 10 years ago, we were sort of thinking about it a little bit, and it was super expensive.
Oh, yeah. There was a rebate program that we could have gotten, and we just never got around to it.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if we would have done that? We hadn't even done our kitchen yet, which was falling apart.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it here eventually.
Yeah, eventually. This is a longer term project, but I really like the idea of solar, especially when you're in a house where the sun's beating in and all you think of is, you know, hey, if I'm producing my own power, how much less do I have to pay someone else to give me my power?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which I think is what a lot of people are doing in terms of doing it for their companies.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are putting some real effort in there. Quite a huge range. You get people on one end and their answer is, well, we recycle in the office, or We have LED lights that are really just like the only lights you can buy anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Are there any non-ELD lights anymore?
LED.
Or LED. Sorry.
There's no ELD light yet.
I know. Hey, listen, I've been sick too.
Yeah.
My brain is still a little fuzzy.
But yeah, there's some that are really not doing much more than we recycle in the office, and you know, we turn off the lights when we leave the room. And at the other end, you've got people with electric trucks and solar panels and people that have done custom equipment designs to be more aerodynamic and work with manufacturers to produce new designs and things. So that's pretty cool. As usual, there's a wide range of answers in there.
I'm scoring right now driver committee, and already it's like, whoa, what happened here? Because driver committees are, there's some people who are taking it to on steroids.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and these are relatively new companies that I'm scoring, and they have like, okay, this is what I'm used to. Every, I don't know, about 25% of companies that I score this over the years will have a relatively formal driver committee, and that committee will meet a couple of times a year, and then they'll put together some thoughts, and then they'll give it to, they'll tell management about it, and management will do something or not do something. But now, like I know a couple of years ago, Gartner started giving their driver committee a budget, but I haven't even gotten to the, I'm still in the A's. And there's one company that is, they have a selection, they have 12 to 15 drivers that have a 2 or 3 year term, and they actually meet with the, there's a board of directors. So there's executive management that they're meeting with, and they have like a, like, you know, a couple of days, there's an overnight where they're all meeting about a variety of things, and it's very formal. They are represented at a higher level, and there's like this huge, big, long description of like, this is a formal program.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not, it kind of goes beyond what driver committees used to be. Now driver committees seem to be like companies are taking drivers more seriously.
Wow. Interesting.
They're elevating the driver committee to something that is kind of like, okay, management wants to hear from drivers. Come and talk to us. Where before it was kind of going through lower levels of the company.
Interesting. Well, it's funny because last time there was a downturn in the industry, we saw it in terms of people scaling back their programs. And it was more of a circling the wagons and let's make sure we stay close and, you know, we'll scale back some of these things. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
I would say that it's not that they're spending less or more money. There's a bigger focus. And you can see the programs that they have started in the past, they're like doubling down. Like they're putting a lot more effort and investment into stuff that they know is already working. So I'm not seeing necessarily any new or much that is new or things that were started at the beginning of 23, not things that are new. But it's not necessarily that there's huge amounts of money being spent on it. It's just they're spending effort, not money. Like there's a lot of effort. There, I really feel like this year is the year of effort.
Okay.
You know, there's more information in the questions and the questionnaires. Like sometimes it's duplicate and sometimes it's just a lot of word salad. But, you know, there's a lot more. People are like saying, you know, this is what we're doing. And they're more descriptive of it in general, I think. Don't you think that from what you've seen?
I wouldn't disagree with that. What I find interesting about it is that the downturn, there seems to be sort of a split. Or to use the marketing word, there's a bifurcation in the market.
The bifurcation.
Yes.
I love that word.
Well, because we have a lower number of finalists
than
we had last year. We're sort of back to pre-COVID levels in terms of participants and finalists and things like that. So we've got, you know, those people that really aren't doing that well, that just aren't in the program at all.
Yeah.
Right? They're just busy trying to keep the lights on. They didn't participate, or sometimes they didn't get nominated. And you know, those people are sort of off taking care of their own business. Then we've got the people that are doing okay, that are doubling down, that are doing all right. They're focusing on things. They're doing pretty well. and they're the ones that are investing their effort. Maybe they're being a little bit cautious about their actual spend, but they're investing in building their process, in building their culture, building their teams. It'll be really interesting to see what happens coming out the other side of that, because the people that invest through the downturn are always the ones that are ready to run like crazy when it turns around.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, about how Apple did that in 2007 in that downturn. They spent money and then they came out of it with the iPod.
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, the iPhone, and then basically took over everything. So there is something to be said for, yeah, okay, there's a downturn, but if you have sort of managed your company properly, you have enough to get you through.
Yeah.
And then if you can get through this crappy downturn, then if you can kind of reinforce what you've already got and come up with some innovations or do something better, or do something differently, then when you come out of the gate and things get easier on the, you know, revenue front, then things will be, you know, you're really far ahead.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing it with tech companies as well.
Oh, the tech companies are hilarious. I have not been inundated with so much spam. Mm. So what I do is when I get spam, or it's usually people who say, hey, you want to do business? Hey, you want to do this? Hey, how you want to spend some money with me? So I put them all into, I have a very extensive way of getting rid of unwanted mails through rules and Outlook. And I have this list of like, must be 100 companies who've just been, and it's, I would say more like 800 companies, because I have different lists depending on what they're trying to do. And I have like 50 to 100 names in each of them.
Mm-mm.
Just people who are just constantly pecking at me. Do you want it? You want it? And since I'd say in the last four months, it's been insane. Yeah. I get so many of them a day. It's not even funny. I don't know. It's like everybody is just doing this last hurrah. And it's like, oh, maybe if I contact Carrier's Edge, they'll be my savior. I don't know.
Yeah, the scramble.
Yeah. That's what I'm feeling like. Everybody's freaking out. So The tech companies
that weren't profitable before the downturn.
Yeah.
That are really scrambling now.
Yeah, they are really hurting now.
And you can see the signs of desperation, and I won't share too many of them because, I don't know, it feels mean to be pointing out the things to watch for, but there are definitely things that people are doing where they like scramble at different strategies and they try selling a bunch of different things. Oh, I guess I am going to talk about it.
Well, I was going to talk about tech companies outside of trucking, what we've noticed. Well, just the basic number of people who are going out of business, or not going out of business, but laying off.
Yeah.
So we have been entertained by layoffs.fyi, which just goes through the sheer amount of people who've been shed.
Mm-hmm.
Because tech tended to overhire, and they were overhiring, especially software developers, which basically meant it was very difficult for us to hire good people, because everybody was being sucked up by all these tech companies who were all using all of this venture capital funding to just hire people and not even get them to do anything. You would just be hired and you'd sort of sit around waiting for something to do, but you'd get hired as a strategy to stop other software companies from hiring you. And which I found so annoying.
Yeah.
And these are all people who are now being laid off, because there's like hundreds of people who are not really contributing to the bottom line.
Well, and it also completely throws off the market, because all of those people were hired at crazy prices and not really given very much to do. And now they're set free and they're out in the market looking, but they're used to what they were making before, and the market can't support that. Like, it was never numbers that were supported by business fundamentals. It was only numbers that were supported by crazy amounts of private equity and just tons of cash that were being thrown at everything.
And so many software developers have no idea what they're doing. They want to have like 120 grand to walk in the door, but they can't code their way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had to do anything. They just sit around or do like one little thing, and they're getting paid like insane amounts of money to do it.
Yeah. So there's a reckoning happening in the tech world.
Yeah.
Much like there was happening in the trucking space for the people that were in the spot market.
Yeah.
Well, it actually kind of happened at the same time for different reasons. There's bloodbaths in a variety of places.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I think that it's not going to be that much better through a lot of 2024. Because there's other things that are messing up not the stock market, the industry,
the supply chain.
Thank you, supply chain. I knew it started with us.
Mm.
And I was just thinking stock market. But yeah, I think it's going to be bumpy, bumpy, bumpy.
So then our predictions, since we're in January, we'll do our predictions for the year, is that it's going to continue to be rough.
Yep.
In the industry for another, 6 to 9 months?
Yep. And if you can get through that, it'll be much better.
So tech companies are going to be more aggressively sending their sales reps everywhere to hassle everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And more founders are going to get promoted into new, more junior positions while their investors force them to bring in some outside CEO who does the exact same thing. Or they'll be forced to pivot into some other markets and try and launch some new industry segments.
I think that I would say that beware, and I'm certainly very aware of this, and I've been aware of this for a long time, and I'm a fan of tech. I like tech, but it's becoming tech over everything else. Everybody, you know, beware of too much tech. You cannot replace everything with a computer, with a machine. You can't replace everything with AI. You have to be very selective of how you want to run your business, what the tech is actually going to do for you, and what your processes are going to be while you're integrating the technology, whatever that technology is. Because there's a lot of money in technology right now. And so what venture capitalists want to do in the investment machine that is coming out of California is saying, okay, we need to put our money somewhere. We need to invest in tech. What kind of tech can you have? What kind of tech do you need, trucking? What kind of tech do you need, retail? What kind of tech? So they're just providing all these solutions where there never was really a problem, or they're solving the wrong problem with tech. And if you are not thinking about what problems you actually want to solve, then you're going to be swimming in a sea of tech and you're going to lose touch with what your connections are, like what your real human connections are. And who your customers are. It's just going to be all tech all the time.
Well, bringing that back to the best fleet scoring, there is a very sort of interesting connection there, because over the past 3 years, like we've talked about this several times, that the industry went nuts bringing on all kinds of tech.
Yeah.
They were signing up for everything, and lots of people were offering tech that really wasn't that well proven, but it was cheap and it sounded good, so everybody was going for it. And we started seeing comments from the drivers about enough with the tech. Let's keep the personal touch. And so we've talked about that, the importance of having the balance between the personal and the tech side. Now, trucking was way behind on tech for a long time. It needed to catch up. And it sort of caught up and went a little bit too far. And I think what I'm seeing so far this year is that it's starting to swing back into the middle a little bit. Like we were talking about people that are investing in their process, investing in the things that they're doing, or spending time focusing on it. It's mostly around the people that they're working on. You're talking about committees and all of the activities that they're doing with committees. I'm seeing it in a variety of other places as well, that they are starting to see, okay, we've got to balance these things, right? They're looking at performance management, and it isn't just, we've got scorecards that give us all of this information. Now it's more about the coaching that goes along with that, the discussion with the drivers, getting the feedback on how they can build the business on top of all of that data. So they're starting to really balance those. And I think that's one place where the people that are investing now are really going to have an advantage, because they will have figured that out. They will be able to move on to the next step when the others that have just been sort of not doing much for the past year, they're just starting to get into it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I think we'll see more of that for the year. I think it's going to be very interesting at industry events over the next 6 to 9 months as well, because we were seeing this last year where those desperate tech companies are swarming events with salespeople.
Yep.
And you get these conferences or conventions that are like 75% vendors. It's just all the salespeople and they're all sort of scrambling. And I think it's going to be the same thing for the next 6 to 9 months or so.
Speaking of events, Truck World is going to come up in April.
Well, that'll be the place where I can kind of
test
that
theory.
Although that's different. That's
yeah, that is a lot of vendors.
Yeah, but the truck shows are a bit different. So like Mid-America, and we're going to the Florida Trucking Show this year. So those things are a little bit different because they're always driver shows, and the vendors there are a bit of a different focus than what you get at conferences and conventions and things. So I think it's going to be rough at the conferences, conventions. I think truck shows like Mid-America and Truck World will be, they're always kind of the same sort of party jamboree that they always are. You know, it's always the same thing. So let's talk about stuff that we're doing that isn't best fleet scoring and isn't advertising.
Oh, yes.
Because I know we talked about that on the last episode, and I think the last two episodes. And sadly, Jane has still been buried in the bowels of animation, but we're getting it.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, I have one done.
So, all right.
Yes. One done.
We will just move on from there.
Yes. The solution has been, you know, not arisen, but there is a solution now. It has appeared. I understand it. It is now, we are moving towards that, and it will become something that we just do all the time. But man, problem solving.
And so what are we doing that isn't that? That seems like nothing.
No, we've got tons of courses that are kind of going through the works. Materials handling, that one is getting its final edits.
Now, some of these courses we've talked about for a while.
I know.
But in defense of the content team, they completely changed their process.
Yes.
For building, testing, deploying
courses.
Well,
they had to because they had to do it without me.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I was so central to the course building process for so many years that it was really difficult to actually figure out how to extricate myself. And I had other things to do. So this last year was the extrication of me from that process. And it is start, and it was like just difficult for a few months. And now we're starting to get rolling with it, which is really good. And really, I'm very happy about it. So we're, it's courses that have been sort of stuck in that wheel of not having Jane is materials handling is going to be, it's very close to the end. It's going to probably go to audio this week. TDG Fuel at long last. TDG Fuel is I think it's gone back to QA and it should be out soon. We've got an updated WMIS course that is, I'm just looking at it right now. What else have we got? Oh, an owner-operator's business course. We're updating that.
That's a brand new course.
It is kind of brand new. Like we did have one ages ago, and then it was kind of based on ATBS Canada, which has kind of gone. But now I believe that the new one is both US and Canada, and is more, it's not any brand, it's just business skills. So that one is, I believe it has been, the storyboard is done. What else? We're doing a leadership course.
On what? What kind of leadership?
Leadership skills. So it's kind of building on what we do with emotional intelligence. It's going to be kind of like that. I think it's going to be more for non-drivers, but drivers are definitely be able to use it.
It'd be good for people that are moving into like driver committees or road trainers and coaches.
Yeah, kind of that that sort of thing. And we also have, there's one other one. Oh, Road Rage. We are working on that one is in, it's in the middle of storyboard development right now.
Okay.
So there's a lot that is coming. And also we have a lot of translations. Well, I think we've had about four translations in the last little while.
Okay.
So the, mostly French, but I think there's been one Spanish.
Yeah. Well, you also mentioned, violence and harassment and sexual harassment. Of course, those all getting updates too.
Right. So sexual harassment, we have a general sexual harassment course coming out for the U.S. That is, it's not quite the same in Canada. There's a update to violence and harassment, which updates some of the sexual, adds more information about sexual harassment in there. So we've got that, and it's a lot more scenario based now than it previously was, violence and harassment. So we've done those, and yeah, I think that's it. There's a lot. Okay. There's a lot kind of churning away. So there will be kind of a glut of courses just coming over and over in the next few months.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And on the system side, we are also about to release the thing that's been in progress for quite a while, the Zoom integration.
Yay!
Which has been a hassle because we completely redesigned and rebuilt the way we manage events, the whole event management side of the system. And now we have the ability to link in Zoom meetings, much like you do through Outlook. You can create an event and automatically have it be a Zoom event. So that's live. Our code part of it is live. We're just waiting for the app marketplace for Zoom. They just have to go through the process and finally release our app, which is weird. Our integration is kind of a separate app through their marketplace, and that will allow people to have much nicer integration for their live events and hybrid events or completely virtual events. And of course, after that, we will do the same thing with Teams. The initial build is the first one that's the hardest. We went with Zoom because that's what we use internally, but Teams will come as well.
Well, actually, Teams wasn't a thing. When we first started talking about developing this, Teams was not...
Yeah.
Because we started talking about it in 2020 or 2021.
Teams wasn't as popular as it has become in the past couple of years.
Well, I have to say, Teams has basically sat on everybody and said, hey, use us, use us, use us, use us. Oh, making me crazy. If you are an Office 365 subscriber, like if you have that for your company, then you are harassed daily about Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
They will give you a free trial and then you cancel it and they give it to you again and then they give it to you again. And I swear I've canceled a Microsoft Teams trial maybe 7 or 8 times.
Oh, yeah. Just reminds me of Clippy that, hey, looks like you want to write a note. Do you want help? And it's just now, hey, looks like you're interested in a meeting. Want to do it on Teams?
And every time someone upgrades their or does an update on their PC, it installs Teams again.
Yeah.
And or it starts that whole, you know, hey, we're going to give you a free version of, you know, Teams for free for a year or whatever. At some point, they're going to have to get people to start paying for it. And then I'm not sure what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Because Zoom is a great, I really like Zoom for collaboration. I mean, I know it's an extra, you have to kind of use an extra software application. But it is so much nicer than Teams.
Mm.
It's just easier to use. It's easier to manage. I find Teams very obtrusive.
Obtrusive, okay.
Yeah, not obtrusive, wait.
Yes. It can be obtrusive.
That's a word.
That's a word.
Okay.
Just not a very commonly used word.
Okay. So on an aside here, I often use really old fashioned words because I've read a lot of old books, like written in the 1800s kind of stuff. So I'm currently reading War and Peace.
This is Jane's entertainment.
Well, okay. I didn't realize how much of a soap opera that thing is.
Mm.
It is a complete soap opera. I have to help me sleep at night and to stop me thinking about work. I've been watching TV in the middle of the night with captions on, so it doesn't wake you up.
Mm.
So I'm running out of things to watch. So I was like, I'll just watch War and Peace. What is this about? I've never read the book. And so I watched it. And like once you get past all the Russian names, and all the fact that every Russian name has 12 other nicknames, it actually, once I knew who the characters were and what the basic story was, is basically a love triangle and gossip.
Mm.
It's like serious gossip. So it's kind of like Game of Thrones. When I read the first Game of Thrones book, it threw me because there's so many characters. And then once I realized that half of those characters are just going to die in the chapter and you don't have to worry about them anymore... Then it was easy to read. It was the same thing with Tolkien. Once I realized that I didn't have to read the poetry, I could just skip all the poems and the songs. Mm. It was so much easier to read Lord of the Rings. And like you have to give yourself permission to skip things. So I'm trying War and Peace. And I have, like, now I know who the characters are and I know how it ends. It's going to be, I can just now read the details.
Okay.
So this is
some very good book hacks from Jane.
Yeah.
Skip all of the poetry and songs in Lord of the Rings. Don't worry about the characters in Game of Thrones because half of them are going to die soon. And what was the hack for War and Peace?
Oh, you watch the movie first.
Watch the movie first.
No, watch the 2016 miniseries.
Okay.
It's really good. And it basically, it like skips, I think, about 300 pages of the book.
Oh, okay.
But it gives you the general bones of the story and you know who the important characters are and you're good. And you also know what all their nicknames are.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So there's like 3 people named Anna.
Okay.
Everyone is named Anna. So you have to kind of go, okay, that's Anna B, Anna C.
Okay.
This is this Anna, that's that Anna. Oh, Anna is her nickname. That's crazy. Or Annette, people call, a woman's name is Anna, but she gets called Annette.
Hmm.
So yeah, these are the things that when you read a lot of, because when you read books that are older, you realize how much wordier everybody was.
Oh yeah.
Everybody was very wordy. And that's the other trick that I have, is that kind of like Shakespeare, you kind of realize that when you read Shakespeare, in regular modern English, you would have a 7-word sentence. He will say it in no less than 30 words.
Mm.
So if you can get your head around, okay, this is really long-winded way of saying I love you or you're beautiful, but he says it in, you know, how shall I compare thee to a summer's day? You know, He thinks you're good looking.
All right. Some very interesting life hacks.
I know. Sorry. That's okay. Nothing to do with anything.
No, that's fantastic. Before we wrap up, I want to point out one other thing. Because the next time we do one of these podcasts will be the day before our announcement of our top 20. And I will also highlight that we have our big event.
Yes.
Our first annual Best Fleets Education and Awards Conference. 3 months from today, it starts.
Ding, ding, ding.
We have early bird pricing that is on until the end of January, and I think until the 29th. So it ends the day before we announce the winners.
Yep.
But we would love to see lots of people there. We are starting to get more and more people registering, which is great to see.
And it's going to be not just the awards, but it's going to be how to get an award.
It's going to be a deep, intense dive into the data. It's going to be a lot of learning. You'll write a lot of notes. You will learn a lot. Your heads will be full, but it will be a good time.
And we will have the Dave Nemo Show.
Yes.
And we will also have Chris Henry, who is going to be talking about...
How to be profitable.
No, but what's the title?
It's like 6 traits of highly profitable companies or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. So... And if you've missed him from his previous lives, he will be giving you some good information.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will be good. And do we have any other guests? I think that's
nope.
It.
That's it.
Besides our winners and our Hall of Famers. And we will also, be announcing a Hall of Fame overall winner.
Okay. Well, that's a backhanded way of announcing that. But more to come on that.
Yes, more to come on that.
Yes, we have more things that we're working on.
I just don't know how much more giant a trophy that we can get.
Well, that's what we have to figure out in the next few weeks.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's wrap it up there then.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Have a good day.